Martha, before you take off, what the email from Gina, Road Credit Union, said that it was a minor.
What are we doing with this? Are we doing something with that tonight?
I don't feel comfortable.
This is the thing on the,
So I'm gonna ask them to table.
The use of the dock, the transit dock over there.
Oh, okay. So are we approving this tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's gonna be, what's that?
That was what Richard said. You know, he made the presentation that was against that.
Right, then this is under new business ordinance E, right?
No matter what, the date's not gonna change. I'm not going to let them change that. They've known about it years.
Did you have any updates on the 44?
Right, so we might as well see it first.
Okay.
No.
Because I'm not.
Not made my trip.
I hope you agree.
Well, I know that Howard Tingley had a conversation with Joanne.
Yeah, and then I went.
And then Joanne had a conversation that John Shaw, Bob Shaw, called. This is just recent, this last few days.
Oh, okay, okay.
Then, he's supposed to send some photographs down and that, if everything is all good. They're supposed to get with you. And hopefully it ends, but don't even mention it, I guess.
How do you feel about it leaving Brookings? How do you feel about it leaving Brookings?
Oh, I'm fine with it. It needs to go somewhere.
Or be taken care of.
Yeah.
Correct, right? That's how I feel.
Wasn't that an exciting meeting? I told you the day when we took the tour.
I know. Nobody else seemed to like that idea at first.
It's made it's tough.
Well, I saw some of the people. Some kind of pheasant disease.
How was McDonald's?
He left his keys here.
He said it only takes 15 minutes. The crowds are fine.
I don't see anything more than that.
The only door.
That's not, there is a door. A placeholder in case.
We're gonna omit that.
Yeah, they won't be left because she left the door.
We had a couple of them have to.
Martha, we have a, thank you so kindly.
Good night, get to work.
Thank you, Martha.
Bye, Martha.
See you later.
Is the board ready?
I'm all right. Well, I think we can, but.
We're gonna adjourn back into public section. Tuesday, September 18th, 2018, at 7:26 PM. We're gonna go to agenda related public comments. The three that I have here tonight are all non-agenda related public comments, so we'll get to them on number 11. Okay, so we're gonna make a motion. We're gonna make a motion to table Tuesday, August 7th, 2018 special meeting minutes. Can I get a motion?
I move that we table August 7th special meeting minutes to allow Danielle to review the tape to provide suggested corrections.
Get a second?
Second that.
Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Hey, can I get a motion to accept Tuesday, August 21st, 2018 regular meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion, we approve those.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Can I get a motion to accept Friday, August 31st, 2018 special meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion, we accept, accept Friday, August 31st, 2018 special meeting minutes.
Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
And I'm very sorry, I did not hear who seconded the August 7th motion.
Ken did.
Ken did.
Ken, thank you.
Financial review, Kathy?
Well, if you have any questions, ask me.
Does anybody have any questions?
No.
No.
Ken? Any questions?
Nope. Wes?
Nope.
Joe?
No.
Can I get a motion to accept the financial review?
I move we accept the financial review as presented to us in our packet.
I'll second that.
Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Manager's report and operational report, Kathy?
Okay, so it's included in your packet. And it was not the first time that you'd seen it. When I pointed out four things that were on a priority list that Travis and I had come up with. And the first one was to let you know that we are going forward with the 41 pilings, and that will happen sometime this winter because of the permit to work in the water. And to remind you that it's going to cost, our share is $114,000. And then there are some question as to estimated cost for materials and supplies to reinstall mortgage docks was maybe $10,000, expected to be $10,000. Item number two was fuel tanks, and the first stage of the project was started yesterday. It was completed today, and it's a three-stage deal, and we addressed that at the special meeting. If you want me to go into detail, please tell me.
Could you tell us what part of the stage
we did the first stage, and it was, I don't have the bid with me.
But was it the cleaning of the sediment or inspection?
Yes, exactly. Of one of the tanks. Excuse me, the two diesel fuel tanks. So as was explained to us at the meeting, is we have two tanks, large tanks. Within each tank, there are two containments, and diesel is on one half, and the gas is in the other. We have a total of 14,000 gallons. Do you remember what Travis told us last week?
6,000
each, so 12,000 diesel, and the same with the with gas. So anyway, that's the first stage, that's been completed. The bid was just under 18,000, if I remember correctly. Okay, and then I pointed out about the roofs, and in this packet it included the one bid that we received to do one of the roofs. And so Travis and I extrapolated that out and came up with $90,000 needed to re-roof both of the buildings. And then number four was the RV park bathroom, and the situation that we are faced with the deterioration of the bathroom itself and the Harbor Sanitary District's disappointment with all the sand that is getting into the drains. We took action on that at our last special meeting. So anyway, it was enough noteworthy that I wanted the public to know what we had done, because we didn't have any visitors at the special meeting to hear what the transaction that was made. So like I said, we've made a decision about the RV park bathroom. We're waiting back from Harbor Sand to either deny or accept the court's proposal on remediation for that situation. Oh, and the other thing that's in the packet, and I hadn't talked to you about, is the port is considered public property. So in your packet, you saw an email that I sent to Martha asking for her response on the 9th Federal Court of Appeals and the decision that they made based on a case that goes back to 2005. And her response is included in the packet. In addition to that, yesterday morning, I've lost track of the days already. Anyway, we had our first homeless sleeping on bare ground. As far as people that have shelter, be it an RV or a trailer, it's my understanding that this does not allow them to just come and be at the port on public property. It is only someone, the decision as I understand it, and Boyd can correct me because he was at that meeting, only applies to people that are sleeping and probably in a tent on their ground on public property. Boyd, did I miss something on that?
You there.
Okay. So I just want you to know, again, that we are port property, and just because someone's homeless does not mean that they can be hassled off of port property. The other things that are included in the packet are the local deliveries, commercial, dated August 29th. And then, in addition, Nadine at ODF&W sent me the from 2009 to 2018 so that you could do a comparison with all the other ports. The one that is missing is Port Orford and Gold Beach. That's the only. And anyway, it's just to give you information, because the question had been, if I remember correctly, where does Brookings rate in commercial landings? And traditionally we're fourth in all the landings. So, and you can see it's interesting in that time frame from 2009 to 2018, Astoria had 1,363,000,000. And then it drops almost in half each time. If you go to Newport, it was Newport for the, and this is the total aggregate, was 434 million. And then it just kind of drops in half each time. So that's a whole lot of money. Thank you, commercial fishermen. And that's it. And then there's Travis's report, and it's on the one page, just talking about all the things that the crew have been doing. And he thanks again the staff for all their hard work and dedication to the port. The Newport truck is in our possession, and it's got all of its decals. It ended up taking longer to finally receive it than we had initially thought, but we've got it now. Any questions?
Thank you for the truck. Any questions, Ken?
No.
Richard?
Thank you.
Joe?
No.
Okay, thank you for that report, Kathy. Old business number 8A, diligent litigation, will be omitted off the agenda for now. We'll move to 9, new business safety and health program. Kathy?
As it states on the sheet, Greg Jackson came down from Special Districts, risk management consultant, and Travis and Danielle and I took part in understanding the different things that are needed by special districts that makes us qualified for business bonuses.
Oh, all the discounts, yeah. Insurance discounts.
we get insurance discounts every time we do something. So in this particular case, it actually will be a part of the handbook. And then we talked at length about light duty return to work and the cost savings. It's just an amazing cost savings on workman's comp if you can get somebody a light duty job. So this was just to show that special districts is happy with us.
Richard?
We need to approve this, correct? I make a motion that we approve the safety and health program for the court.
Get a second?
I'll second.
Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Unanimous. Okay, master plan for RV park. Callie?
Well, this one, I was asked to put it on the agenda.
I put it on the agenda, and it's just to develop a master plan. And because at this point in time, one does not exist, apparently. So, you know, whether it includes putting back a laundromat, new restroom, just the general overall, like a 1 year, 5 year plan. Mm-hmm. So that's it. We have nothing at the moment that I'm aware of.
I haven't been able to find anything at this point.
Well, I think in the process of doing this, we should sit down and visit with Travis about what's not working down there. I know the 50 amp service doesn't work in some places at the RV park. And those,
I believe it's not even offered. When we bought those pedestals, it came automatically with mm-hmm. it, but sure. We don't offer it.
Oh, so we don't have 50?
Correct.
Well, we need to let the public know that, because we visited with some folks down there that said it doesn't work, and all it has is a piece of tape over it.
So exactly.
We should let them know that 50 amp is not available.
Right. So. When we borrowed $300,000 from the state, that got us up to 30 amp. We hadn't been at that, whatever year that happened.
Okay.
Do we want to make a motion to develop a master plan for the RV?
I think so, Ken. I think
so. So I'll make a motion we do that.
Can I be a little more?
Okay. Master.
Yeah, we're going to do that in-house, so you need to be more.
Okay.
Less vague, please.
I'll make a motion that we develop a master plan that includes the needs of the RV people as well as the port staff, including a restroom, possibility of a laundromat and convenience store, and upgrade, if necessary, the Wi-Fi, the what else is in that system they were talking about?
Just the electrical.
Yeah, the electrical. And any sewage system that upgrades that need to be done. Comprehensive master plan.
And do we want to start off with that in-house, Ken?
Yes.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
New business C, Rogue Credit Union lease. Kathy?
Okay, I'm going to ask that be tabled. Rogue Credit Union has sent the draft, which is in your packet, onto their attorney. Martha wants to be able to review the draft that comes back. I do want you to know that there won't be any change in the date. It will still take effect August
1. Okay. So note that is tabled. New business D, Grimstead and Associates. Kathy?
Well, in your packet you see that Sumia has resigned as our auditor. We have sent out 7 requests for quotes, and by snail mail and by email, and at this point in time, we haven't received anything back. So tomorrow I'm going to start calling the people that we had contacted. In order to do it in a timely fashion without filing for an extension, we need to get someone on board really soon. And so when I have that, I'll ask the board to make that selection. But while I'm speaking, back to the driving the 41 piles, that right now that's in the paper, and it's a sealed bid, and right now it closes October 2nd at 4 o'clock, and the commissioners will have to convene to award that contract. If anything changes, which there is a possibility, I'm hearing rumors, and rumors won't be spoken out loud. But anyway, I'll let you know. But right now, the commissioners will open the sealed bid after 4 o'clock, October 2nd, as of today.
With respect to Grimstad and Associates, I move that we accept the resignation of Grimstad and Associates.
No, I second that.
With discussion, why did Sydney give any reason for
she's having employment problems?
Okay. Then can we get a second?
I second it.
Joe, second it. Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion. I'll let Richard make the motion.
Well, this is with regard to the amendment of the ordinance 11-1-1998 regarding the transient boat dock and boat ramp. I move to waive the full reading and introduce ordinance number 21, an ordinance of the Board of Commissioners of the Port of Brookings Harbor amending ordinance number 1-1998 regarding transient dock, boat ramp, and public parking regulations.
So can we get a second on that?
Second.
Danielle?
Joe?
Yes.
Wes?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Commissioner's report. Joe?
Nothing.
Come on, tell us how much Kenny you've been catching lately, Joe.
Not much. I haven't caught any. Nothing.
You've been up to nothing.
Well, pheasant hunting and dove hunting.
Okay, yeah, you just told me you had pheasant and dove.
That's not going to help us here. But it was good.
I would like to make mention of a great job done by our staff and house, the clearing of the property next to the David Allen Insurance Company. Did a lot of good in a lot of ways there for the port. That'll be all for tonight. Thank everybody for coming. Small group.
As you may recall at the last meeting, I offered to chair a small group to talk about special events. Mm-hmm. And we had our first sort of meeting last night. Joe attended, I attended. I had invited in a local fisherman who moors his boat. I invited Barbara and Bruce Ellis and the owners of the Chetco Brewery. Neither Chetco Brewery nor Bruce Ellis made it. Barbara made it. So we had a long discussion and kind of introduced the concept, but we're now going to reconvene in October and start over and see if we can't get some better understanding on the part of our vendors exactly what we face in terms of parking issues as described to us by the State Marine Board, issues described to us by Harbor Sanitation, and then we can move on from there to try and figure out how we're going to conduct special events.
Do you have a date for that?
I don't yet.
Okay.
It'll be
in October.
I can tell you it'll be prior to our next meeting and after the bubble fishery.
Are you advertising those meetings, Richard, or do you have?
Danielle. I want to compliment Danielle. She put together a really great meeting package, as she always does. So we had what we had needed in front of us, which was the application and all the packet that we give vendors, including the fee structure, which got a pretty thorough airing last night, and I suspect will in the future. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's the report on that.
Thank you, Richard. Ken?
Nothing at this time.
All right, now we're going to go to non-agenda related public comments. John Meriton.
I'm John Meriton, local fisherman.
Hey, John, can you come sit up here, please? Just so as for our recording issues.
Oh, all right. Well, I only wrote down one thing, but I got a couple things.
Well, make it quick, because
we're
getting late. And
the first thing is I've been here my whole life, all right, with the port. But the deal is the tuna this year are small. So basically what it says with their small, we cannot sell them to the normal Pack Choice, Borenstein, Hallmark. They don't want them. Okay, so then that deal is we all go to this deal of selling our fish off the boat. Well, myself, Joe, and a few other fishermen down here, we come home with fish on the boat. The state of Oregon has a law when you buy a permit. If back in the day, I don't even think there was a bond, but they come up with this deal for $200, I think is what it is right now. And I had owned a vessel called the Free Spirit, which is an ice boat. And you get this bond, and then you have to buy this other license for $102 that the state says you have met their requirements so you can pay a landing tax. Well, then the other day I come home and I gotta go to my dear old port and I argue with Danielle. She's gonna tell Kathy on me. Anyway, but I have my port that I live, breathe, and love gonna charge me more than the state of Oregon to bring money into my port, okay? So the state charges me $102. My own port charges me $150. I would like to see that ordinance either changed or abolished.
What are we charging you $150 for?
To sell fish off of my boat.
Oh, okay.
What it is I had went to a port meeting a long time ago and kind of got in trouble because I always kind of have a potty mouth, but when you come to Brookings, Oregon, I do not want to be known as the port that's going to give you a dollar less a pound for your product and charge you a dollar more a gallon for your fuel, okay? Which was the gospel, but I think the guys that were in charge was trying to do that. If everything costs so much money to bring it across the dock, nobody would come here to buy fish or sell fish, and then you would have the monopoly. But these are special things. You only got like three or four people anyway, say a dozen of locals that are here all the time, whether they're selling bottom fish, crab, or whatever, that do this. And as many people as we can get into Brookings, whether it's the Hungry Clam, whether it's the Best Western, anybody, we're all going to benefit from all of these people bringing money in. And whether it's me, Joe, Roy, you, any of us selling fresh product off the boat, I mean, we're going to make money hands down. But to sit here and making a charge like that, I mean, it's crazy. I had $450 invested before I ever sold one fish off the boat. And I think it's crazy. The state's already, you've already met the state requirement. Joe, me, and every other fisherman in this boat basin, the mortgage is $2,000. On top of that, we have to have $1 million insurance. That's another $7,000 a year unpaid. Everybody has storage. I don't know. Thank God I got a big enough piece of property. But I mean, it's just, I don't know. I see it as unneeded. Well, then on top of all of that, my second deal is the bathrooms. We cannot use the bathrooms as commercial fishermen, even though we're paying a price to park our boats here, because the homeless people got them. Okay, they're either in there, there's no toilet paper, and they're gross. I don't want to catch nothing, so that goes along with your health and all of that other happy stuff. But it's horrible. But we only got, what, two restrooms? There's no way that we can have a combination? Push button?
Well, I think it's a good idea. I think that's very possible.
Well, Newport's got push button or key.
Key.
And, you know, I mean, if we're going to go into these new rules and these people are going to be sleeping on my sidewalk, parking in my parking spot and stuff, God, I don't want to catch no diseases. Right. But anyway, them are my two complaints. But I really think, honest to God, if we had a lot more guys or own people selling stuff off their boat, they've already made the state requirements. We just don't need to be nickel and dime to death.
Are you talking strictly tuna, or does it go to
anything?
Other fish? It goes to all the fish.
We buy a permit to sell off the boat. It's $102, whether it's crab, salmon, tuna, or whatever. But it's just like the numbers the catfish spit out there, billions of dollars. We are paying basically a double landing tax because Coos Bay won't charge you. I don't think Newport, but then I got that argument. I don't want to be like Coos Bay. I don't want to be like Newport. I want to be unique, but unique's not worth $150 to me. Okay? I don't think it's right.
Is there some rationale for the $150 charge?
It was before I was here. So it's just always been here.
There's no port staff involved in this at all.
No existing port staff was involved in this $150.
Well, no. What I mean is, if they buy a permit, it has no real impact on the port.
No.
Other than we get $150.
Exactly. That was a way to get money out of the fishermen one more time. To go along with what John is saying, and Joe will back me up, there was a time frame where the mindset was, let's go after the commercials.
What did you say?
You're very rich.
Okay.
That ain't the truth. We're not. We barely make it month to month.
I just looked at the landings, and there was $12 million worth of crabs landed here.
Yes,
here.
Sir, this that.
Well, you know, I'm a millionaire being a fisherman.
Sell your boat.
Hey, thank you for that, John. Yeah, thank you, John.
Oh, I like that. The key idea. I really do.
That's
how I want it.
They're all going to that up and down the coast.
Yeah, and then they just pay $100 for it.
For deposit, right?
Yeah, deposit on it. I think that's a good way to go, and it keeps everybody out of their bathrooms.
Craig Wilcox.
Sir.
Thanks. My name's Craig Wilcox, and I've got a nice pleasure boat on the commercial side, and I'm sure everybody on the panel knows what happened 3 weeks ago in regards to the individual that was a felon, and he came down on the dock and jumped on somebody's boat and stole and things like that. There was an altercation with three current boat owners on the dock in regards to this individual, and one of the boat owners produced a knife. And so the three boat owners that were confronting this individual are not young, they're not healthy. In physique is what I'm saying. And the felon, he was 6'5", 6'6", he was probably 260 pounds. And I heard a bunch of screaming, I was working on my boat. So I went over there, and it's the same time that the deputy sheriff showed up, his name was Jordan White. And so the reason I'm bringing this up is because when I was here before, I traveled up and down the coast. I was in Canada last year with my boat and things like that. And I've been to different ports, and from LA all the way up to northern Canada. And a lot of the moorage facilities on the sport craft and or on the commercial side, they have a locked gate system with a card lock, with an enclosure, with the housing that you're going to have to be physically fit to be able to scale, get over, and get down on the dock. for these to access the boats. So with in regards to what's happened with the 9th District Court 2 weeks ago, it just brings more light to the subject that those of us that have vested a considerable amount of money in pleasure and or business, we need to have protection. And so I wrote a letter 2 weeks ago, I handed it to Danielle, and she in turn had given it to Kathy. Has anyone of the board members here read my letter? Very good. You might want to take a look at that. It highlights and brings this to light in regards to those of us that even don't have weapons, but the deputy sheriff, and I'm pretty much go quote unquote, he said that when the felon was in the back seat before Jordan closed the door, the felon says, well, these guys are going to pay because of what they did to me. Jordan, the deputy sheriff, came back down on the dock, and I was there at that time. I wasn't there during the initial confrontation, but I heard somebody yelling help, which the guy jumped in the water.
Your phone, vibration. Turn it off, please.
So Jordan, the deputy sheriff, said, I just want to tell you guys this, that since he has created a threat, if he comes back down on the dock, you don't need to call. You don't need to do anything other than protect yourself because he has threatened you. The individual that bore the knife was the part Al that was sitting here. He's 5'4", he weighs 135, and he's one that did it. And so the guy's in the water, and Al took the paddle and hit him in the head. You know, that's the only protection that we have. But, I mean, this guy, had he had his sense about him, he could have taken out Keith, he could have taken out Art, and then...
Leon.
Leon, thanks. So there could have really been three tragic and even deaths done. So what I'm saying is, when Ted was here, there was discussion and communication that there were going to be locked gate facilities. And over on the commercial side, it hasn't been done. Now over on the sports side, I guess that's locked at night and opened in the morning. Back to the RV side where my boat is at, there's two signs. One sign says that no person of the public shall be allowed on the docks without a current boat owner being, quote unquote, a chaperone. Then the sign right next to him says that the docks are closed to the public from dusk until dawn, which then correlates the idea that says, okay, when dawn happens, I can go down on the dock. Now, in my letter that I wrote, I stated it's a great thing for people that come from wherever to go down and take a look at the boats. It's just something, you've got a menagerie of different boats, and some of us have unique boats and things like that. Some of us have boats for sale. So now, since the 9th District Court has come around and said these people can go wherever they want, and if there's no lock gate facilities, that puts a lot of us in harm's way. Now, I've seen people go through the garbage. I've seen, it's a menagerie. So everybody here knows what's going on. Now, I do know, as shared with me, that if there's any expense greater than $5,000, it does need to take a vote. But anything less than that, then you five gentlemen can go ahead and authorize that. I'm really asking that you guys put up security on the RV side and or where Joe's boat is at over on the other side. It's obvious what John was saying about the bathroom facilities and stuff like that. I was getting out of my truck the other day, and this street woman came up and said, is this the facility where I can take a shower at? And I said, well, no, ma'am, there's not any showers there, and I don't really know of any place down here on the fourth that you can't. Well, Joe's side, you can't. She says, well, there's an employee up at that sandwich place, Subway. She said, I can come down here and take a bath. So you guys are just really... You might not live down there, but I come and go. But I want to be secure, I want cleanliness, I want to make sure. I walked down in my boat 3 weeks ago, and there's a guy standing on my boat. And so I walked up, and I said, what are you doing? He goes, he just mumbled, got off my boat, and walked away.
I want to add to what Craig is telling us. Number one, the commercial fishermen, they're going and coming from all hours of the day and night. They're your security right now. The liveaboards, Al, Leon, Keith, three out of those four were liveaboards. They got the living ass kicked off of them. Leon's nose is just starting to look normal after what, 3 weeks it was?
Yes.
And Leon's another 125 pound man. Al's 130, Keith's 220.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's the note taken that the commercial fishermen that are going and coming all hours, and sport fishermen this time of year. Mm-hmm. You guys are coming and going all hours of the evening and the day and night. So we have a security in place, night security, that drives around. I feel they do the absolute best they can. But I do feel that we need another source of in-house security. And the Best Western Motel just done it, and I think we've talked about it before, Kathy. You have one person, he works from, say, 8 at night, 9 at night, till 6 in the morning. He makes his patrols on foot. And when he's not patrolling, maybe he's doing the trash duty early in the morning. Best Western is using a person multitasking as their security. And in the past, we've always had an in-house security. And then when Earl was the guy, Kenny Davis was the security guy, Lance was a security guy full time. I think it would be wise for the board to consider and talk about a 7 day a week job for two people or something through the night, because this problem is not going to get any better. Just today, just started yesterday, I saw a motorhome that I promise you the junkyard wouldn't take. It spent two nights for sure that I know of in the library parking lot with two other vehicles and about 14 people sitting in a big powwow circle last evening in our Hope Library. Before I came to the meeting, I saw four motorhomes, the one I just described being one of them, at our beach. One parked in the northeast parking lot of the commercial fishing vessel, and the other three over at the it seems to me we're getting this migration. I don't know if they're migrating south.
I can give you information on that.
Okay, maybe you could give it to Kathy, Craig, because we want to wind this meeting down.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask the commission just to think about it.
To follow through, could you get an estimate of what it would cost us to put in lockable gates?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where they don't exist?
Yes.
I would suggest a card lock, not a key.
Yeah. Yeah, and also what it would cost to install locks on the bathroom at the commercial buffet that have the showers on it.
Oh, I said the bathrooms definitely need done.
Mm-hmm. And then once we get an estimate, then we can make some better judgments about what would be the most cost effective way to approach that. I hear you. I'm a dock walker. I've been a dock walker since I was 15, and I love to do it. Can't do it in California anymore, and I hate to see us be one that isn't going to do it either. But
I highlighted that in my letter as well. So you might.
Well, but the flip side of that is this isn't 1990 anymore.
Yeah, I understand. Don't take this as being bad now, but in February, I talked with the port employee. I said, not all the lights on the docks are working. And I said, he says, okay, I'll turn that into management. Well, I talked with Travis 4 weeks ago, and I said that I took off my tower, put it on, my light doesn't work. I switched the lights. It's not the bulbs, just the wiring. Can you take a look at it? Look at it. He says, yeah, I'll take a look at it. Hasn't been done yet. There's a lot of lights that are up. So I've gone up in the dark, when night security drives by, they don't have any spotlights. They drive through. They don't have any way to create a larger volume of light other than what their headlights do. So if you've got dark docks, you don't know what the heck's going on down there.
Well, let's just say that in the future, this is, we've kind of got an agenda coming down the road here, but we're going to have to talk about docks. I mean, lights, stuff piled on the docks, crab pot, wagons. I mean, I went down there to get on that boat the other morning, almost didn't get to it.
Yeah. And see, so, I don't know if you guys know what boat I have, but it's a nice yacht. And so I normally, you know, I travel, and so I put in last year for an annual moorage. And now when all this is being detrimental or questionable in our security, I only put in for 6 months this year. And so, you know.
Okay, thank you. Oh.
Okay. Thank you for bringing it all up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Craig.
You don't want to go to fisticuffs just to protect what we have.
No, especially with our...
And Joe hasn't given me his phone number yet to call him, so I'm kind of pissed off.
How come you're the last one at Custer's Last Stand?
Okay,
that is all we have for tonight's meeting. Meeting is adjourned. Meeting is adjourned Tuesday, September 18th, 2018 at 8:10 p.m.